Today's Shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem Ches. We will begin on Daf Mem Zayin on Beis. Beizer Hashem Yisbarach, we begin the new Perek. The first halachas that we're going to learn in this Perek are actually halachas that we've discussed previously. Chazal taught us that we may not do hatmana, we may not put food in a pot in something which is Mice of Hevel, something which is increases heat. That may not be done even on Erev Shabbos. The reason Chazal made that rule is they were concerned that if we're going to allow Hatmana, Bedava Mice of Hevel, somebody, maybe Matmin, will make Hatmana in coals, which as we've learned so many times in a Masechta, whenever we're dealing with coals, we need to be concerned that if you have coals, Shem Yechata Begecholim. Furthermore, Chazal said that on Shabbos itself, Hatmana may not be done, even in something which is not Mois of Hevel, even in a material which doesn't increase heat. And the reason for that halacha is because we're concerned that if somebody is going to be make Hatmana, even in something which is not Mois of Hevel, he'll see that what he wants to do Hatmana with is not adequately warm, and he may come to warm it up on Shabbos. And therefore, on Shabbos, Hatmana, even in something which is not Mois of Hevel, is also Asur. As we've discussed, the Rishonim debate, if Hatmana only is when the entire object that we're being matmin is covered, or even if partial Hatmana is considered Hatmana. Most Rishonim, that's the Psak of the Ramah, hold that it's only if it's entirely covered on bottom, on top, and from all sides. But there are Rishonim that say that if you put a pot on top of coals, that may be considered ready Hatmana. But as we said, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Resh Nun Gimel Sif Aleph seems to be Machmer. The Ramah is Mekel. But the Ktzayis HaShulchan agrees, says that the Shulchan Aruch agrees that if you don't put the food direct, the pot directly on the coals, there's a blech, for example, between the coals and the pot, even the Shulchan Aruch would agree that that's not considered Hatmana. Moreover, Reb Shlomo Zalman and Orbach Zatzal in the Shas HaTshuva Smicha Shlomo Chelik Beis Simel Lamed Dal Ois Yotes says that if you're putting something on top of something which is hot, but it would be a type of material that you cannot put the entire pot into, that isn't considered hatmana. Furthermore, we said that hatmana is not permitted on Shabbos, but Dovish and Mois of Hevel. But says the Mishnah Brura, if you're not going to cover the entire pot, that, as we just said, is not considered hatmana, and therefore that may be done even on Shabbos. As we've also discussed previously, Rashi's opinion is that the Isser Shia and the Isser Hatmana travel together. Not, says the Chasam Sofer, to mean that when you do Shia, you're doing hatmana, but rather, Rashi learns that the Gzeira on Shia and the Gzeira Hatmana is all in the same family. But as we've learned, Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that Shia and Hatmana are two separate gzeiros. There are a number of questions that the Poskim discuss. What is the halacha if somebody did Hatmana when he shouldn't have done it? What is the halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Resh Nun Zayin Sif Katan Vav teaches us, even Hatmana that's done Erev Shabbos, and the halacha of Mishnah Berurah says is any time in Erev Shabbos, bedover hamois of hevel is osur and should be undone before Shabbos. What's going to be halacha if you did do atmara before Shabbos and you didn't undo it? So the halacha seems to be that there's a difference between Hatmana and something which is Mice of Hevel versus something which is not Mice of Hevel. So if you were Matmin B'dava Mice of Hevel, it seems that Chazal, the halach is you can never eat that food on Shabbos. If you were Matmin on Shabbos B'dava Sh'ena Mice of Hevel, which of course you shouldn't have done, the halach is that you cannot eat that food. However, there may be also a difference between when you did it b'shogig and when you did it b'mezid. And it could be that if it was done b'shogig, even if you were matmer b'dovar ha'mois of hevel, and certainly if you wait for the food to cool off, so you didn't really benefit from being matmin b'dovar ha'mois of hevel. So there, it seems we could be more lenient. So begins the Mishnah b'ma tamnim b'ma im tamnim. With what may you do hatmana, and when may you not do hatmana? So of course the Pnei Yeshua asked the question, shouldn't the Mishnah have first told us the halachas of hatmana, as we've just discussed, and then start telling us, identifying different materials, which materials are mice of hevel or what are not mice of hevel? So says the Pnei Yeshua, that if we follow the opinion of Rashi that we just quoted, that Rashi learns that Shia and Hatmana travel together, and since in the previous parak we learned extensively about Shia, we need not begin again teaching us the Isser of Hatmana. However, if we don't follow those opinion, as we said, Tosfos certainly doesn't follow that opinion, say the Rishonim, that we learned in a Mishnah, Avam Amrim V'Toym Nimesachamim, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Dalar Med Aleph, so we already began to talk about Hatmana, and since we already began to talk about Hatmana, therefore the Mishnah needed not tell us that basic din. There's also a very fundamental Machloikus Rishonim. We spoke about Hatmana. We spoke about Hatmana B'dava Mois of Hevel. So what type of food is that applied to? So Tosfos quotes the opinion, Tosfos B'mat Tamnim, quotes the opinion of the Rashbam that the Issa Hatmana is only applicable by food that's already cooked, but wasn't cooked all the way. But if the food is cooked all the way, or it's a Kedei Rechaisa, we spoke about that earlier in the Masechta, raw meat, that there's nothing to be gained by doing Hatmana for tonight, because it won't be, by doing Chitu B'Cholim for tonight, because it won't be ready anyway. And by tomorrow, it'll be ready also no matter what. And such foods, says Tosfos, quoting the Rashbam, there is no Issur Hatmana. Because just like Shia would be mutter in those types of food, why? Because there's no reason to do chiti b'gecholim. Here too, hatmana would be mutter. So ask Tosfos that aren't most pats bein hashmoshes in that category, and yet the Mishnah says that hatmana is asur. So Pnei Yeshua says that isn't the raya, because maybe it's talking about water. Water for sure, if it's cooked all the way, and we know water is mitzdamik v'raloi, so then the halacha is, says the Pnei Yeshua, it's certainly not subject to hatmana if you put it in Erev Shabbos, even a davar mois of hevel. But if you're putting regular food, not water, so that's a machlokes rishonim. I did see that Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal, in his Sforim, takes a very lenient approach. And he says, whenever you're doing hatmana for food that you're not going to eat tonight, that you're going to eat tomorrow, he takes a much more lenient approach regarding the permissibility of doing hatmana. So again, ask the Mishnah, Mama Tomnim, Mama Aim Tomnim, which foods may you put the pad as hatmana mutar on Erev Shabbos, and which are not? Says the Mishnah, Aim Tomnim, Veloy Begefes, one may not use the leftover of grapes because they create heat. V'loy b'zevel, the waste of animals. V'loy b'melech, salt. V'loy b'sid is lime. V'loy b'chol is sand. It's interesting, the Ritva and the Ran say that sand has a very interesting characteristic. If you put something hot into sand, it will make it hotter. If you put something cold into sand, it will make it cooler. Bein lach and bein yuvashim. And this halach applies whether they're moist or they're dry. V'loy b'tevin, not with a straw. V'loy b'zagin. Zagin are the leftover of the grape skins. V'loy b'muchin, the material that's used to the soft feathers. V'loy b'asovim, nor with grass, b'zman she'lachim. Avotaymnim, you can use them k'shein yuvashim when they're dry. Begins the Gemara. Iboilehu, gefes. When our Mishnah speaks about gefes, that it's something which is moisiv hevel. Ask the Gemara, what type of gefes are we talking about? Are we talking about shalzeisim tanan? Are we talking about gefes made out of olives? Avol the shumshimin, the zefes of sesame are not considered moisiv hevel. And therefore, Shapadami, you may do atmana in them on Erev Shabbos. Or Dilma the Shumshim Nantanan. Maybe our Mishnah is referring to sesame zephes. For Koshkein, the halach would be the zeisim. So the Swasemis asks a question. Why don't we just do an experiment? Why don't we just take zephes of Shumshim and see if it give mice of hevel or not? So says the Swasemis, certainly Zephes of Shumshimin is Mois of Hevel. And certainly, as the Gemara is going to be very clear, it's not Mois of Hevel to the same degree as Zaysim. The Gemara's question is, if the Mois of Hevel of Shumshimin is considered enough of a Mois of Hevel that it should be considered Dovra Mois of Hevel, or it's not considered that degree. Toshma. Dom Rav Zeirim Shem Chad Be Rav Yanai, Kupa Shetamim Bo. If you have a pot that you put into it, you did hatmana with it. Osla Nicha Agav Gefesh Al Zaysim. It can't be put in to the leftovers of the olives. Shema Mina. So from here we see Shal Zaysim Tanan. Only Zaysim is Mois of Hevel, not Shumshman. Says the Gemara. Loilam Emloch, it's not a compiling proof. Because we could really say, L'inyan Hatmonam, as far as Hatmon is concerned, the Shumshmin Nami Osir. Doing Hatmon even in the Zephes of Sesame would be Osir. L'inyan Asuke Hava'ala. But when you're only putting it on top of the Gephes, and you want that the pot that you put on top of that Gephes should get be warmed up, there, since as we said a moment ago, the heat of Shumshimin is certainly less than the heat of Zaysim. Zaysim, maske hevla, the gefes of Zaysim gives off heat. And therefore you can't put a pot even on top of them. The Shumshimin, loy maske hevla, don't give off that same level of heat. And therefore you could put on top of them. But to put completely in them would be usur, both by Shumshimin and Zaysim. And therefore, the Gemara did not answer the question. Says the Gemara, Rabba Rav Zeira ikla be Resh Galusa. Rabba and Rav Zeira came to the home of Resh Galusa. Chazil hu avda, the anach kuzu de maya apuma de kumkama. They saw a servant putting a jug of water on top of a kettle in order to heat up the water in the jug. He didn't intend to cook the water in the jug. He just intended to heat the water on the jug. Amalei Rav Zeira says Nazei Rabba. And Rabba was upset at what he did. Why? Because it was in a situation, explains Tosfos, the very Maskil Mai, that if you were to leave the water there long for a long enough period, then the water would get to Yatzla despite. And then we would have an Isser Bishel. So even though the Eved's intention was not to leave it for such a long amount of time, still, since he put it on a place where it could come to that, where it could come to be cooked, that's why Rabba was upset. Amle Reb Zeira. So Reb Zeira said to Rabba, Maishna, why is this any different than a Gemara we're going to learn on Daf Nun Aleph on the base that says, Mimechem agabe mechem, that you can't put one pot on top of another pot? And why over here are you saying you may not? Amle, to which Rabba responded, Hasam, in the case of Mechem agabe mechem, we weren't talking about cold water on top of hot water. It was hot water on top of hot water. And all he's intending to do is a kumi kaimaikim, to keep the water at that stage of heat. And therefore, it was mutter. Aval hocha, in this case, a ludik kaimaikim, he wants to create heat. He wants to warm up the water that's on top. And that is asur, because as we just said, he may leave it there so long that he's going to bring it to Yatz Ledes, which would be a situation of Bishul B'Shabbos. Hadachazye, then he saw that this Eved was doing something else. The Stader Apume, the Porus the Stader, he spread out his hat, Apume the Kuba, on the top of a jug, Vanach Natle Alei, and he put a ladle on top of it. And again, Nazi Rabba. Rabba was upset at what he was doing. Amle Reb Zeira Mai. Reb Zeira here too asks, why are you upset? So the Mefarshim ask, isn't this also because of a seas oil? The halach is you're not allowed to spread a piece of material on top of a pot. So Rashi, they say, warns us, was prepared for this question. And he says that the definition of a kuba is a kankan. And since it has a very narrow opening, there is no isser of oil. The isser of an oil is only on a keli that has a wide opening. Amalei Reb Zeira Rabba. So Reb Zeira said to Rabba, why are you upset? Amalei chash techazos. You're going to see immediately why I'm upset. L'soif chazye, he saw it, the kamatzilei, that he was squeezing out the sudor from the water that was in it. And therefore, there's an iser schita. Because the halach is, somebody who does schita on Shabbos is chayiv because of melabin. Because that's the derech. You squeeze out the beged, the garment, the piece of material from any water in it. Rashi says that it was water. And the Ritva makes the point that only by water is there an iser of schita, because that's how you clean the beged, if it has water in it. But if it would have maperis, fruit juice in it, which won't clean the beged if you squeeze it out, there is no iser of schita. Furthermore, I saw Ramosha says that the Issa Schita only applies if you're squeezing a material so it has a value that you're going to use it again. But if you're squeezing a napkin, which is going to be disposed anyway, there's much less of a concern of Schita. The other question that the Sfasemis asks, how did Rabba allow this Eved to squeeze out the material? Shouldn't he stop them before he did something wrong? So the Sfasemis says that's exactly what happened. He certainly stopped them before he did anything wrong. That's one pshat that he says. The other pshat that he says is that the Rabba prevented him from using it till Motzei Shabbos. So since he prevented him from doing it till Motzei Shabbos, there's obviously no is a schita. Another pshat that I saw, it was that he was an akum, he was a goy, and there is no problem with a goy doing schita. Amalei, Sir Reb Zeira asked him, So Reb Zeira asked the Maishtamber Vavanka, why is this any different from using a rag to cover a bowl of liquid, which was allowed, and we're not concerned that someone's going to squeeze out the rag? Rabbi answered him, Amlei hosom le kaprale hachra kaprale. In the case of the rag, like I just said before, he doesn't care about the rag. And since he doesn't care about the rag, there's no reason, even if he squeezes it out, it doesn't make a difference. And he doesn't squeeze it out because there's no reason for him to squeeze it out. Here, where he has something where it's something that he cares about, that's where there's an issa shechita. Continues, we learned in the Mishnah of Loi B'Tevin, one may not use straw or the other materials when they're moist. If somebody has muchen that he did has mana with, could you move the malatatl on Shabbos? Can they be moved on Shabbos? Doesn't mean that they become muksa. Amalei, so Abaye responded, just because the person doesn't have straw in which to do atmana, does it mean that he's going to make the muchen, which is a very expensive material, into nothing? So what the Gemara means to say is that muchen is muksa machen sarnkis, as is taught in the Shulchan Aruch Simen Shin Ches Sif Aleph, and since it's muksa machen sarnkis, even though for this Shabbos, for whatever reason, you decided to use it for hatmana because you had nothing else available, it's still muksa. And Lema Masayle, and we could bring a raya, says the Gemara. Taimna begize tzemer, one could do hatmana in wool shearings, or betzipe tzemer with mats made out of comb wool, or beshoinas shel agmon, strips of purple wool, or bemoichen, and with flocking. But, says the Mishnah, they metatlanai some. We may not move that. And from here we see, I saw the Sefer Peiris Taina teaches us that even though muksa may not be moved on Shabbos, that doesn't mean you can't have anor from muksa. Because if, as the Gemara is saying here, these different materials are muksa, so how could I have anor from these materials without mana? It must be that there is no isra anor from muksa. Says the Gemara, im shim ha, if this is what you want to use as a raya, imishem halo iria. This is not a compelling raya, because hachikama. This is the way we can learn the mission, the brisa. Im like tambehem. Certainly, if I didn't use these materials for atmana, so they remain muksa machmas chasar and kiss. And since they remain muksa machmas chasar and kiss, the loch is a metatlan noisam. But if I use them, maybe they're not muksa. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi Maila Memra, if it's talking about that I didn't use him, there's certainly Muksamach Muskhsar and Kis. So what's the Brisa coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Maratai Mechazul Mezgalayu, you could sit on them, and therefore, maybe because of that, they should not be considered Muksa, Kamashmalan, that they are. Says, unless that they are Muksa. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda Sharla Aduri Odri Lebeisadya Bishapsa. Rav Chisda allowed putting back the stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos. He did not consider that this is considered makbe patish. Asked the Gemara, Eisei Rav Chanan bar Chisda l'Rav Chisda, so he asked the following question, the loch is, matirin beis hatzavar b'Shabbos avaloi paischen. The way clothing would typically come back from the laundry was with the collar tied shut. Since the knot was never meant to be permanent, so the halacha is you could untie that knot on Shabbos. But when it's a new shirt, one may not tear a piece of fabric to open up a collar hole that it could be used as a garment, because that would be usur because of what we just learned, makba patish. You're making it into a garment. Furthermore, one may not put the stuffing into a pillow, into a blanket. You may not do that on Yontif, ain't Tzarech Lomim B'Shabbos. So we see clearly that you're not allowed to put stuffing back into a pillow on Shabbos. Different than what Rav Chisda taught us. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Ha b'charati, ha b'atiki. New pillows that have never been stuffed. Their halach is you can't put the stuffing in. But in a case where it was already opened, where already was once used, there the halach is that we could be more lenient. Because in a new keli, in a new pillow, says Rashi, it's considered makom patish. But if it's not a new pillow, then it's not considered makom patish. Tanya nami hochi, and indeed says the Gemara, so do we learn in a brisa. Ein nois mesamuchin lo lotecha ka'ar, v'lo lotecha kesa b'yontav, v'ein tzorch loim b'shabes, noshu, but if they fell out, the halacha is, machzir nosu b'shabes, you may put it back on Shabbos, v'ein tzorch loim b'yontav, and certainly you may do so on yontav. So, the Gemara differentiates here between a new pillow and an old pillow. So Tysus, the very masculine Habacharati, takes from this Gemara that if a string of a garment, like the string of a hood of a coat, fell out, one could put the string back on Shabbos. However, Tysus adds two conditions. Tysus says, if people usually knot the end of the string, then one may not string it on Shabbos, because he may come to make a knot. Furthermore, says Tysus, if inserting the string is a difficult process, then it's considered a tikkun mana, even if an old garment. The Tosefta teaches us a similar halacha regarding inserting shoelaces. The Tosefta says that once shoelaces come out on Shabbos, he may reinsert them. Says the Magen Avraham, that is only permitted to put shoelaces into old shoes. However, inserting shoelaces into a new pair of shoes that never had shoelaces previously is considered tikkun mana because it makes the shoes wearable. The Yerabba also adds that you're only allowed to reinsert the original shoelaces. The original shoelaces may be put in, but if somebody's shoelaces snap, even on an old pair of shoes, he can't put in new shoelaces on Shabbos. Then I saw an interesting shaila that the Michas Yitzchak discusses based on this Gemara. Is one allowed to blow up a balloon on Shabbos? So he says, based on this Gemara, that this is the Chalkes Yaakov, I'm sorry, in Simon Kuf Samach Zayin and Kuf Samach Ches, Ayrechayim, that since this never had before anything in it, it's considered that you're doing something new on Shabbos, and it would be Osir. The Shas Chuvus Michas Yitzchak, however, in Chelik Vav Simen Zayin, says that you can't bring a raya from the case of Muchin to the case of a balloon, because by the Muchin, you're putting it into a new place, which till now it wasn't usable, and now you're making them usable. However, he says, when you're blowing up a balloon, you're not really accomplishing much. And since you're really not accomplishing much, therefore, it maybe is mutter. The Shal Sechuvah Tzitzeliezer, again, based on this Gemara, teaches us that to put a pillowcase around on a pillow, to change a pillowcase, that is mutter. It's in Chelik Yud Beis Simen Lamed Vav. And so too is the opinion of the Shal Sechuvus B'Tzel Chochman Chelik Dalid Simen Sadeh Gimel. And he, in that Shuvah, the B'Tzel Chochma, actually holds that not only is this mut, not only could you put a pillow into a pillowcase, but he holds that you're even allowed to blow up a balloon. Again, more like the Michas Yitzchak, not like the Chelkis Yaakov. There's a Machloikis, Rashi says, that what is the Issa Paseich Pesa Tzavah B'Shabbos? So Rashi says that the concern is because of Matk V'Patish. Why, asked the Beis Yosef, in Simen Shin Yud Zayin, is it not also because of Kareya? You're tearing it open. So says the Beis Yosef, and the Bi'ur Halacha discusses this Beis Yosef at length, that since it's not Koreya Amanas Litfor, in any situation where it's not Koreya Amanas Litfor, it's not considered Koreya. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Marav, as we just learned, Habaseich Beis Atzavar, the neck of a new shirt, if you open it on Shabbos, Yechayiv Chattis, and we're going to learn like Rashi taught us, there's an Isser of Makve Patish. Maskla Rav Kahana, Asr Rav Kahana, Ma Ben Zul Umagufas Chavis, why is this prohibited? And we're going to learn a Gemara on Daf Kuf Mem Vav, that somebody could cut off the top of a barrel with a sword to be able to open up the barrel. So we see that making an opening is not Osir. Amalei Riova, to which Rava responded, Zechiber, the piece of material around the shirt is one unbroken piece of material. And since it's one unbroken piece of material, opening it up means you're creating a utensil. But the seals on the top of a barrel are not considered one piece with the barrel, and therefore opening them up is not considered makabe patish. So from here we see that the Gemara is drawing a distinction. The Gemara is differentiating between when it's one piece or it's two pieces. And this is the question that is discussed regarding opening up battle caps on Shabbos. And Rav Yisrael Yankov Fischer Zatzal, in his Tshuvas Evan Yisrael, uses this Gemara as a raya that you could open up, because since the battle cap and the soda or the bottle are not one piece, and therefore it's not one piece, therefore it's not considered that you... It's like our Gemara says that when you didn't start with one piece, it's mutter. There are other Paiskim, of course, that disagree. So, since we're talking now about things that are attached, things that are considered one, and things that are not considered one, the Gemara goes into a different subject. Into Ramalei Reb Yirmiyahu Reb Zeiru, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Shlal Shekovsim, article of clothing that they used to take to the laundry. And again, because they had many different articles of clothing and they didn't want that they should get lost in the laundry, what they used to do was that they used to stitch them together. Or shalshalos shel maftechos, a keychain, v'abegit shutofa b'klayim. Or you have a piece of material, or you have a garment, two pieces of material, and the way the two pieces of material are attached is with a thread that's made out of klayim. Let's say you'll have two pieces of wool that you want to attach, and you used linen thread. V'abegit shutofa b'klayim, chibur l'tuma. The halacha is if one article in this connected group becomes tamei, the entire group becomes tamei. Ad she'eschilu l'hater, until you start opening up whatever connects them. Alma, so what do we see from here? Even though they're not being worked together with, since they're connected, even though when they're not, you know, after you, let's say, use the example of what was taken for the laundry, even after I finish washing them, they're still considered connected. For many, but ask the Gemara, it says in a different Mishnah, Makosh also yad lekardim. You have an axe, and you have a piece of wood, and you have the piece that the metal piece that's used as the axe didn't have a handle. The handle is missing. So you go and you take a piece of wood, and as the Rishonim explain, pieces of wood typically are not makabel tuma because they don't have a base kibbel, they don't have a receptacle. And we've learned that wood is only makabel tuma if it has a receptacle. But here you have this piece of wood that you connect to the piece of metal, even though it's not meant to be permanent. Chibul tuma b'shas melacha. So while you're using this axe, it's considered connected. And if the metal part becomes tamei, so too will the wood part be considered tamei. But we see here only b'shas malach in, only when you're working with it, shloi b'shas malach alai, because then you're going to throw it out. So why here do we say as long as they're connected, they're, one is tamei, the other is tamei? And here we're saying this: if as long as they're used together, then they're tamei. If not, not. Amalei answers the Gemara, it's not a good comparison. Hasam shloi b'shas malacha, adam zark l'bein eitzim. Like we explained, when you're not going to be using this, typically what a person is going to do is throw it away. And since he's going to throw it away, even though you didn't actually throw it away, the halacha looks at it like you threw it away. Hacha shloi b'shas malacha, but here by the laundry, for example, nichalei, even if you already washed them, you're still happy if they're connected. Why? De mitnfi, if these pieces of these garments get dirty again, hadamachvalei, I'll wash them again, and I wouldn't have to sew them together. And since that's the case, I'm happy not to consider them connected. It's something I'm happy with. And since it's something I'm happy with, it's considered connected until I actually disconnect it. Says the Gemara. But Surah Masin Lahoshmatz Mishmeid Rav Chisda. In Surah, they learned this Gemara that we just learned in the name of Rav Chisda. However, says the Gemara, Pamadis the Masin Mishmeid Rav Kahana. And Pamadis they learned in the name of Kahana. Vamilim Mishmeid Rav, and said they learned, some say they learned in the name of Rav. And they said, man tana ha milsad amar rabbanan. Who's the tana that taught, that is the tana that taught us what the rabbanan say? Kala mechubalai arei kumayu. Anything that's attached is considered one. Says the Gemara, amar Yehuda merav, rameihi. It's the opinion of Rameya, the tanan. We've learned in our mesechta extensively about a kira. The kira was built in a very practical manner. They used to have a beis apach. A beis apach was a little receptacle attached to the kira that if you needed to have a flask, you could put the flask into it. Beis atavlin, they had a place where they kept the spice, a spice rack attached to the oven, so they could put jars of spice there and any spice that they needed as they're using the oven, they could spice the food. Or beis haner. A beis haner is a place where they wanted to have a lamp that you should be able to see. So they had a place to put it there also, a candle. The halacha is metame b'maga. If the kira becomes tamei, because something tamei touched the kira, these different receptacles will also become tamei. Ve metame b'aver. We know, the Torah Kedosha teaches us that a kli cheres, which as we have been learning, a kira is certainly a kli cheres. The halacha is, a kli cheres is metama metoichai. If a sheretz, for example, is suspended within the kira, the halacha is that the kira becomes tamei. But teaches us the Gemara that if the kira became tamei because of such a situation, it will not affect these different receptacles that are attached to it. Divrei Meir. Rav Shimon Metar. And Rav Shimon says that all these receptacles remain tahor. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's opinion is very understandable. Rav Shimon holds kusav alaf kira dami. The receptacles are not considered as part of the kira. El Rameyer, but let's understand Rameyer's opinion. Ika kira dami, if we're going to say that they're considered like the kira, so then even if the kira became tamei because of the aver becoming tamei, that should be enough to make these receptacles tamei. If, on the other hand, you're going to say lafka kira dama, they're not considered connected to the kira, so then the halacha ought to be a feel benaganami litma. Just because something tamei touched the kira, why does that affect the receptacles? Answers the Gemara l'olam lafka kira dama. Rameya agrees that midaraisa, they're not considered part of the kira. It's just a gzeir drabonim. So says the Gemara. Okay, so the Rabbanon have a right to make Xeris. But ask the Gemara, I gozerba, I feel about amba nami litma. So then make a Xeris that under all circumstances, they're considered connected. Why are we differentiating between if the kira became tamei b'maga or if the kira became tamei b'avir? Answers the Gemara of the Barabbana Akeira. Chazal specifically did this. On one hand, and we've mentioned this explanation many times, on one hand, the halacha is that if truma becomes tamei, if kachim becomes tamei, one may not eat them. It's a very serious avera. On the other hand, the halacha is truma and kachim that are not tamei, we have to be very careful not to burn them because we have to treat them with great respect. So if we're going to say they're considered full-fledged connected, both if there's a tumas smagger and both of the tumas avir, so if there's truma and kachim, let's say, in one of these receptacles, we'll say, well, they're connected to the kira and they're tamei. And truma and kachim that become tamei obviously must be burnt. But if we'll say, well, it's only tamei sometimes, but not tamei all the time, so we'll realize that it's only tamei midrabanan. But midraisa, it's not tamei. And therefore, we'll be careful not to burn them. So ask Tosfos, so by the when the articles by the laundry are connected, so obviously it's also a tumah midrabbanan. So where, how would we show this differentiation? It's only a tumah midrabbanan, not a tumah d'oraisa. So Tosfos answers that the way we would do it is that by if they became tumah with tumas mes, the sprinkling of the para aduma on one garment won't work for the other garment. But you can't do this by a kira, because since it's a kira made out of klicheres, as we just said, a klicheres can never become tahor through the sprinkling of the para aduma. Because the Torah says that the only way a klicheres can become tahor is shvirosam zutarosam, by breaking them. And therefore, that isn't a method to show that it's only connected with the Rabbana, not with the Raisa. So that's why Chazal had to come up with another method to make this point. Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabbana, Mesparish L'Prokim. Scissor is made out of two sections and two different blades. Uizma Shal Rehitni. They used to have a plane to smooth things out, and there's a handle on the plane. So the halacha is Chibul Tuma. They're considered connected as far as Tum is concerned, and therefore one part becomes Tamei, the other part also becomes Tamei, Vein Chibul Azor. But regarding if they became Tamei with Tumas Meis, which was we just said, the way it becomes Tar is by sprinkling on it the ashes of the Parah Adoma. If ashes were sprinkled on one, it won't help for one part, it wouldn't help for the other part. Ask them, I don't understand. Man of Shach, Ichibahu, if they're considered connected, then I feel azonam. It should be considered that as soon as some of the paraduma water was put on, the mechatis was put on one part, it should work for the other part. And if on the other hand, laf chibahu, I feel a tumanamilo, then don't consider it connected. Amar Rava, says Rava, dvatar b'shas malacha chibur, when they're in use, so they're considered one piece. Bein l'tumah bein l'azom. V'shloi b'shas malacha, when they're not being used, they're not considered connected at all. However, Chazal said that even when they're not being used, if one part becomes Tamei, the other part should be Tamei, because they made Gzeira, because when it's being used, they're certainly considered one. And therefore, sure, if one part becomes tamei, the other part will become tamei. So in order to not get confused, Chazal said even when they're not in use, if one part becomes tamei, the other part becomes tamei. Indeed, when they were being used, if you did hazar on one part, it should be adequate for both parts, because both parts are considered one. But Chazal were concerned that there's going to be a confusion, and you'll think Hazar is good on one part, even for the other part, even when they're not in use. Were there, they're not really considered connected. So in order to avoid these considerations, Chazal said that under all concerned circumstances, as far as Tumah, they considered connected, and as far as Hazar, they are not considered connected.